It does over here, you know. Couch sets better, you know, in one place than it does the other, right? Not really. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, familiar portion. And kind of continue a little bit where I left off Sunday night as far as the subject matter goes. Maybe not as long and intense as we were getting, but 2 Timothy chapter 3. If there's any portion of Scripture in the Bible that describes our day and the time we're in and the bad situation of and it getting worse, then it's this chapter. It says in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, "This know also, that in the last days," and that's your setting, and folks, we believe we're in the last days, the Lord's coming soon. And it says, "In the last days, perilous times shall come." If you're catching any news at all, this is the most chaotic I've seen in the world in a long, long time. It is amazing. And the inhumanity of man, are you seeing in the news how the Muslim terrorists are going in and just killing whole Christian villages and awful things that's happening? And it's not going to get better. In fact, it's going to get worse. And these verses here are addressing that. And here's a big problem in verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's it, brother. "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." You ever noticed how bad they despise somebody that's trying to do right? Despisers of those that are good. About all you got to do to make an enemy anymore is just live a cleaner life than they're living, or some achievement that they didn't achieve, and it's amazing. And then it talks about traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I think lack of loyalty, and I'm going to preach on this, I think, one of these days, is one of the marks of our end time. It is amazing. I guess you heard in the news where the, over there in Afghanistan, where the guy, he's got on a good guy's uniform, but then he kills everybody. Kills one of our highest ranking officers that's been killed since Vietnam, they said. And we can't seem to learn, but I don't want to get on that tonight. That's not where I want to go. I want to come on down in this chapter and look in verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, we can always ask the question, why does God allow that? Well, he allowed his son to be crucified, persecuted, and to try to make the sacrifice for sin, and sin is still bringing the persecution today on those that try to live godly. That's what it says. Don't say, "Yea, all that live ungodly, but godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Notice this, "and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now we understand the context. Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. But a part I want to pick up here in verse 15 is this. "That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." You know what the answer is? It's the Holy Scriptures. It's the Word of God. And you don't start with the kid after he's in jail. You got to start when he's young. And if there's any hope left in this church age of Christianity, it is that Christian parents start waking up and coming back and claiming that territory that's theirs in their kids, and not let everybody else bend them and twist them and send them in the wrong direction. And that's what's been going on now for so long. And some of you got young kids and some of you got some a little bit older. truth of the matter is, if you don't teach them from the Word of God, which is right, somebody's going to teach them that is wrong. And they're going to do that's wrong. Because the flesh sides with wrong. You understand what I'm saying? That's why we find it easy to overdo the things that the flesh craves and get us in trouble with it. It's too bad, but it's the truth that whatever our problem is, we generally find we gave in to some desire of the flesh one way or the other. Now, our challenge as Christians, and I'm talking to the best of God's people tonight, talking to the church, and talking about our responsibility a little bit to reach kids, but also raise our own kids correctly. I started talking to you Sunday, and I'm elaborating on it a little more, and you'll hear more and more about it. I'm trying to push kind of a reset button in our Christian school. Do a little purging here and there, doing a little correcting here and there, doing a little add-on here or there that is good. And so how do you know what to do? Well, one thing I'm doing is I'm thinking way back on what I did in the beginning. And I feel like that foundation is still the only foundation that'll hold. And that is to be unashamedly identifiable with the Bible, with the Lord, with high standards of righteousness. Listen, the more we give in, the more worldly we get, the more we pay the world's price for it. And I'd rather pay the price of the world snickering at me now, because I'm going to have the last laugh later, I'll guarantee you. Amen. I'd rather pay a little bit of that now than I had to see our church kids grow up. As soon as they get old enough to resist mom and dad, they're gone. Do you understand that in most cases, now some little southern towns and some better and some worse, because of the caliber of the particular teachers that may be teaching in the little school. But do you understand from the federal top down that they are programming to take your kids from you as far as the values that you hold? Yes, I mean, it's wide open. There's no camouflage and no deceiving about it. They're after that. And they're doing it. They're really doing it. And very few kids reach 10th, 11th grade in a high school, but what they think that the old-fashioned ideas you have of right and wrong are not for them. They got to party it up. Now, if we could just get them to run forward and see where that direction's going to take them and what a crash they're going to have down the road, but that's hard to do. In the meantime, we're admonished from the Word of God to raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're told to raise them in the Scripture, as we read right here, even in the perilous times, even in the bad things that's going on. That's still the only hope. It's still the only key. And so what I'm trying to do now in our Christian school is I'm trying to reach back, and I'm going to start a Christian character scholarship fund. And thank God some of you have already responded to that idea. You say, well, I don't have any kids to send to school. Then invest in saving somebody else and saving a family, saving a kid if you can. And do what you can with it. That's what I'm going to be asking. I'm going to probably be writing a letter. I'm probably going to be talking to you more and more about it, because the truth is the government schools aren't going to get better. They're going to get worse. And immorality is at such a high you wouldn't believe it. While we can't teach Christ and the Bible in those schools, many of them already got an Islam curriculum in them and are teaching that stuff. That is really unbelievable to me. But it's happening. Now, maybe it hadn't got to our local school here or there on the corner, but brother, it's already programmed from the top down. And if you just read the newspapers, you'll see which direction that stuff is going. And from time to time in a message, I'll tell you about some of that bad stuff. And we just kind of, you know, oh, that's too bad. But the truth is, it'll get home too. It finally will arrive. It may be your kids. It may be you're old enough it's not your kids, but it may be your grandkids. It's a reality I'm talking to you about tonight. Now, we're going to need help in funding, and I know we're not made up of a bunch of folks just hunting something to do with their money. I understand that. Some folks think that. It's amazing how they think it, but it's wrong. All through these many years in the history of our school, we started out on a shoestring. We've done the impossible on a shoestring. We've seen great victories, a lot of them that we can be very, very proud of. And we're hurting now, and I'm just not willing to surrender, and I'm especially talking about the high school. I'm not willing to surrender and give up to the devil with it. I believe we birthed something that God wants it to live till Jesus comes. As a ministry of the church, wouldn't be right if it was a ministry any other way, but it's a ministry of the church, and we're going to do our best to reinvigorate it in the right way. When I put the word on emphasis on Christian character scholarship, that's exactly what it means. Not talking about kids, dirty mouths, getting a free ride. I'm not talking about those that can't keep their pants up where they ought to be. I'm not talking about a crowd that's indecent in sound and looks. I'm talking about somebody that has been saved, really saved, not just doing the church, really saved, and wants to serve the Lord and wants to live a, quote, Christian life. That's who I've got in mind, and it don't take long to spot who that is and who that isn't. And so I want you to keep that in mind. That's the way I'm going. Now, I'm going to ask you to help me seek some of those kind of students, saved and really proving it by being faithful to want to love and serve God. That generally involves coming to his house faithfully. It generally involves coming to Sunday school. If they've been saved here in our church or if they're in another good church, that's fine. But that's going to have to be the lifestyle. It's going to have to be the lifestyle. And I'm talking about Christian character there. Now, when you seek me some students, tell them to apply, that there's scholarships available if they qualify, if they can qualify. And they apply at the school office. And we'll have people that will make appointments with them and talk with them. Now, it does not necessarily mean that you go out there and dig me up somebody whose family is down and out and poor and couldn't have made it no other way. It could be one of those. It don't have to be. That's not necessarily a qualification. It may be somebody that's working two jobs and struggling to pay all the bills. And it can be somebody like that for sure. When I say it's not necessarily a down and out, poor situation, it can be if everything else fits. And by the way, there's some real victories that we can point to. I'll tell you this one. A few people in the auditorium know it. A man came in, a man and his wife came in. They'd just been married. Came in the office this afternoon and shared a great testimony with us. His name was Jake, and if any of y'all recognize this last name, Jake Harder. And Jake stood there and gave us a tremendous testimony. He said, we are on a trip down memory lane. He said, we've been going around here looking at the buildings and the property, and I've been telling my wife how I used to go to church here and ride the bus ministry to church, how to ride the bus to church. And he said, I showed her around. He said, now things are changing. But he said, you know, he asked me if I could remember his mother and him coming to church on the bus. And truthfully, I couldn't. It was in 79 or 80 or early back in that time. So that's a while. But he said, you know, I remember as a kid, we came up here somewhere around Davenport. He said it was Mama and Daddy and whatever he said, brother, sister, said we were camping out under an orange tree. He said that's the place we could live was under an orange tree. He said somebody from the church came by and got us and put us in a place. I don't know if he said a motel or a house for a little while. He said, got Dad a job. And he said, I don't know, maybe Mama out of gratitude started riding the bus with me to church. And what a tremendous story that, and then he was trying to identify who his bus workers were. And I finally figured out one of them was Bob Christian. You remember Bob? And the reason I knew that, he told me a story about running over a cow and almost getting killed. I said, yep, that was Bob Christian. I remember that. Now, here's the good part. Here he is doing well, living up in Canada, coming back down here on vacation, flew back down, rented a car, come around here to look and show his wife where he used to go to church. Now, it'd be real easy, wouldn't it, to just drive somebody camping out under an orange tree, just drive by them and ignore them. Sure would, wouldn't it? But you know, there's a lot of people out there. If you reach out in the right way, you can see some good results. And only heaven's going to record that sort of stuff. And I'm saying to you that while I'm going to make it possible, if I can, and this is a faith step, I'm going to ask folks to give. I'm going to send out a letter. I'm going to give myself as much as I can. And I'm asking God to get a hold of some hearts. And we're going to try to raise a Christian scholarship fund. And we're going to bring in some Christian character, some families, and try to help and try to save some kids. Because, folks, do you understand the worldview today is being formed in those schoolrooms? I'm talking about a worldview that is contrary to the Bible, contrary to right and wrong, contrary to morality and decency as you have ever seen in your life. And what is the job of the church? Yeah, it's to send the gospel, but it's to also disciple, and it's also to teach. And if we don't do that, if Jesus don't come in time to rescue us, we're going to lose all the future of the kids. I've been in some churches, and it's not true here, but it could be true here. I've been in some churches where there was just a few old folks left. Now, here's what I'm saying. They served well during their time. Now it's an achievement to be strong enough to come to church, but they can't keep carrying the load. And unless there's a younger generation come on, trained right, wanting to do right, that church is, say, well, the church can't die. As a whole, God's church will be alive till he gets here, but individual churches can die. That's right. And they do. Yes, sir. And if you don't believe it, look at all the Muslims that's moved into empty church buildings across America, because just what I'm talking about. So I believe it's an investment to have a good Christian school. If I won't do it, but a number of you could raise your hands here tonight, you are alumni. Well, let me just do it. This is the smallest Wednesday night crowd we've had maybe all summer. How many of you are alumni of Landmark Christian School? Raise your hand. Now look across, that's quite a few here. And right on the back. And okay, thank you. But suppose I could have a hand showing of the last 40 something years. Be a pretty good crowd, wouldn't it? And I don't believe, I might be wrong, but be very few that raise their hand and say, oh, I'm sorry I went to that school, it hurt me. Older they get, the smarter the school's gonna seem to them. The older and more experienced they get, the more they're gonna look back and say, uh-huh, my teacher was right. And what they taught me was right. I guarantee you that's going to happen. But I want you to help me recruit in the right way. Send the kids to the office. We'll see if they qualify. And perhaps you may have somebody in your family. Now look, it's okay for a family to be biased, but don't be stupid. There's a difference. Don't think just because they're kin to you and just because they've lived for the devil so far that if you get them in a Christian school, you're going to make angels out of them. No, it ain't. And that's why I'm going to keep the front door pretty tight. It's not that we don't have compassion, but we got common sense enough to know that. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been yourself, or you had somebody sick in a bedroom with a contagious disease? Would you raise your hand? Well, sure, some type or another, if it wasn't nothing but the flu. It's transferable, you know. How many of you believe if you got a sick person in the bedroom, if you'll just bring a well person in there, it'll make the sick person well? Say, preacher, that's stupid. You bring the well person in, the sick person gonna make them sick. That's why I can't have too many sick folks coming in the front door if I'm gonna produce the character that I'm talking about. And so with that truth in mind, if you got a family member, bring them in. We'll evaluate them. We'll talk to them. It might be they qualify. If they don't be mad at us. Just because they're kin to you. Don't be mad at us. Because we're going to be as honest as we can and help everybody we can and yet not be stupid about it. You may know a friend. Fine, I hope I get some feedback from some of you that will call up here or contact one of us or send them up to the office. Now you got to understand, we are going to be given almost totally paid for scholarships, with the exception of they're going to have to either buy their lunch in the cafeteria or they'll have to bring a lunch. They'll have to have their own transportation to get up here. However that might be. But the procedure is to apply at the office, and generally, almost without exception, they're going to need at least one parent. Always better if it's two, but at least one parent with a kid when he comes in, and with whatever records and all that he can produce, that's fine. Now, I really believe, and I'm asking God to find and bring to us some kids with some Christian character that want to go on and do something for God and prepare themselves to do something for the Lord. I'll say to the young folks that are here tonight, if you don't understand the wisdom of what you're hearing tonight, it's too bad if you have to go out and have a crash wreck sometime before you wise up. The sad truth is that happens to too many. The truth is you go by God's word, by His standards of living. I think most young ladies should want to grow up, get married, have a good family, raise good kids, stay married to the same man all their life. All of that is a wonderful dream. It is not an impossible dream, but it is if you exclude God's word and God's principles. It just won't work. It just won't. And the earlier that happens, that you make up your mind, I'm sold out to Jesus. Let me just challenge you young ladies a little bit. You know, the first person you ought to marry after you're saved is Jesus. That's right. I don't know if it was a preacher that counseled with Sonia and I, but I have passed it on for many, many years to many couples that made the statement. He said, you need a third party in your marriage. Now, generally, the first thought is the third party breaks up a marriage. Need a third party in your marriage. And then he was quick to follow that, and that's the Lord. And you remember, He's with you at the breakfast table. He's with you in the bedroom. He's with you in everything you do. And He's the right judge, and you can't intimidate Him, and you can't trick Him. And that's the way it works. I guarantee you. Somebody says, well, I disagree with that. Well, then how'd you do? How'd you turn out? The truth of the matter is you didn't turn out too good if you're violating the rules of God. And all our business is a church, is to reach and disciple and help everybody we can. You know what would build not only the church, but just build our outreach? Would be if our families would grow up clean, marry clean, stay clean, raise their kids clean. The next thing you know, we couldn't build buildings big enough to hold the families of Christians as they would multiply. But that's not what happens. That's not what happens. In fact, too often, the exception to the rule almost anymore is when one does turn out that way. I'm not being facetious. I'm being a realist. I know what I'm talking to you about. And I can trace it right back to where the destruction started every time. But now I'm going to shift gears and say, I want you to pray about much helping me to raise the fund. If somebody wants to personally identify a student and say, I'm going to pay their way, that's always fine. But most of us probably can't afford that whole thing. But we can give toward it, and in a collection of many of us, we can cause a good number to go to school that could not go to school otherwise, and we'll count it as a privilege, and we'll make something of the opportunity they're given. And I believe that can happen. I'll ask you to give toward it. I'll talk more about it in weeks to come. I'll ask you to, if you put something in an envelope, mark it Christian, character, scholarship. If you put 3 C's, we'll know what you're talking about. But do that. Just do it. But now, let me tell you what don't do. Don't take it out of your missions. Don't take it out of your tithe. I'm talking about taking it out of something else. And you don't mean to name some of those other things, I'm sure. Whether it's an extra trip to the where you eat or whatever. Somewhere you can take it out of something. And I'm a firm believer in my own experience in life that I've never outgiven God. I've seen too many times that just amazing how the Lord gave it back. And I wasn't watching for it. Now, I've heard preachers say this, and it's okay. I've heard them say, I gave it away on purpose to watch where God was going to give it back. Well, I never tried to practice that. I always just felt like God wanted me to give it, I gave it. And then, to my surprise, so many times, I remember then when God gives me back. Say, can you remember when he didn't give you back? I never count those times. I don't know. I just know that in the long run, I'm still the winner. Amen. I got no doubt about that whatsoever. And don't take it from other giving. A lot of schools like us do not just operate off of tuition. They operate off of gifts. Some of them are big gifts that come from corporations. They come from folks that give for the right reason, and some that just give because it's a good tax write-off. It's a good thing that the tax IRS will recognize. That's charitable giving, and you can get a credit for it. Now, you might know somebody in a business or a corporation or something else. Don't be ashamed to say something like that to them. They literally have to do that every year. And we've had a few gifts from time to time, not great big ones, but it is a possibility. Don't fear to talk to somebody about it. When I did the Ten Commandment Rock, how many of you have seen outside the doors over there, on the placards on the wall? Have you looked at that? Go out there and see the different people that gave, and some of it pretty big. Now, God had to get in that, I'll guarantee you, for that to happen. And I'm asking God to get in this. And I'm encouraged. Sunday night, I can't remember. I met somebody in the office Sunday night at the church. But between here and that meeting in my office, I discovered that $6,000 had been given to the Christian Character Scholarship. Now, say, well, that's great. It sure is. Like to have maybe 6 more tonight. You want to raise your hand? I'm playing with you now. But the truth of the matter is, if God gets a hold of somebody's heart, it will come in. Now, let me say this. Some of you are thinking, well, we need $500,000 to do what you're talking about. No, we could use it, but no, we can get by without, with a lot less. I've done some figuring, and this is shoestring, which I've always operated on. I've done some figuring, and I can actually do what I want to do for 1 year, and that's all I'm shooting for right now, 1 year, this coming school year. I can actually do what I'm asking to do for $100,000. Now, that sounds like a lot, but not if everybody did a little bit. You'd be surprised how quick it can happen. And so now we're only 94,000 short tonight. We haven't even kicked the ball off yet. Amen. So don't be discouraged, but then put a mark on the wall somewhere and say, now I remember that preacher said God was going to do something. Now let's watch and see. And then help me pray and ask God to do it. Let's honor him. I'm not asking to raise money to use it wrong. I'm talking about using it right and really, really getting the job done for the Lord. I believe it can be done. And I'd like to have some more stories to tell, like the Jake Harder that come by this afternoon. And there's others out there. I told him, I said, only heaven is going to record it all. And he flew into the airport, rented a car, drove down here, though his destination was the East Coast, just to see where he went to church, and rode a bus as a kid. So and God's still blessed this church through the years, and he's going to bless it right on until Jesus comes. I believe that. But I know we have to do what we have to do right, and ask God to honor it. Amen. All right, how many will join me? You will pray about it. Amen. Amen. Now, you'll hear more. You'll hear more. We'll start in the morning with the teacher's orientation. You'll hear more about it. And you have, God lays on your heart a kid. Even if we have to turn them down, send them. It may be, it'll be just right. And be something, be an investment for the long haul. And I believe God's got some out there, or he wouldn't have laid this on our heart. The easiest thing to do would be to cut back and just give up. Do you know what most parents are doing right now? They're homeschooling their kids to a certain age. Then they're turning them over to the public school at the worst time in their life. I mean, at the time when the body is fulfilling, but the mind hadn't caught up with it. I'm talking about when the kid don't even understand themselves, and all of a sudden the biggest temptations in the world are laid in front of them. And then we wonder, what happened to that kid? That was a good Sunday school kid right on up to the sixth grade. Yeah, every one of us in here know what I'm talking about. 13, 14 years old, and trust them to somebody else. And I wonder what happened to my kid. As a church, we're commanded to raise our own kids, but as a outreach to our own young people, the ones we can reach through this church, I'd like to have more than just on Sunday. I'd like to have